Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our Three Ideas in 30 Minutes. Hope everyone is having a beautiful Erev Shabbos, a beautiful Friday morning. It is so great to learn together. For those who are in Boca, we have our Tehillim class on Thursday mornings in person. For those who wish to join us, it's at 9:30 a.m. We even had granola bars and water yesterday, so there's no reason to miss out on it. Everyone's invited to join us in person on Thursday mornings. And of course, we continue our learning on Friday mornings here online. I want to thank our sponsor for this morning, sponsored anonymously, in memory of Teddy Kellen, Shimon Tuvia Ben Dov, Yehuda Leib Chaim. Our learning should be an aliyah for his neshama. Okay, three ideas in 30 minutes. Parshas Lech Lecha, we are in the heart of some of the most famous stories in the entire Torah. Of course, many of us, when we started day school, we began learning Parshas Lech Lecha. In fact, someone reminded me, I said a few years ago, about the War of the Four Kings and the Five Kings, that somehow we skipped over that in my educational experience. But there are so many storylines. This is one of those Parshas. You say to yourself, where do we start? Well, we're going to start with three ideas, and I encourage you to share them at your Shabbos table, to discuss them, and to engage in conversation about them. The very first idea comes from the Rambam. Now, I wrote about this Rambam in the Weekly, but I used a little bit of poetic license in writing about the Rambam in the Weekly. I want to share a different idea about the Rambam. The Rambam, in his Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel, 1-3, talks about Avram in his youth. And when he talks about Avram in his youth, he talks about he is Mushka Be'or Kasdim, Bein Ovdei Kochavim, that he lived in Or Kasdim, and he lived amongst the idolaters. He calls them Tipshim. He says that these individuals were fools. He says, Va'avi V'imo V'chol Am, Ovdei Kochavim. Everyone around him, his parents, the entire nation, everyone was serving idolatry. And then the Rambam drops a bombshell, a nuclear bomb on the entire conversation. He says, V'hu Oved Imahem. Avram Avinu, says the Rambam, was an Ovei Avodah Zarah. Then the Rambam says, Uben Arbaim Shana Hikir Avram Es Boro. Then when he was 40 years old, Avram Avinu finally finds Hashem. The Rambam is very strange, primarily because of the Ravid. The Ravid, in his commentary in the Rambam, when the Rambam says, Uben Arbaim Shana Hikir Avram Es Boro, that Avram was 40 years old when he recognized God, says the Ravid, Yesh Agada Ben Shlosh Shanim. There is an Agadita, there's a Midrashic text that says that Avram was not 40 years old, but rather that Avram was 3 years old. And so says the Ravid that it's true that there's an Agadita that he was 40 years old, but you should know that there's also an Agadita that he was 3 years old. Here's my question this morning. Given that choice, you can go with Avram finding God at 3, or you can go Avram finding God at 40, and perhaps, as I wrote in the Weekly, you can read both into the Rambam. Why did the Rambam explicitly choose to recognize Avram as finding God at 40 instead of choosing finding God at 3? In other words, the Rambam has two texts. One is a Medrash that says Avram finds God at 3. The other is a Medrash that says that Avram finds God at 40. The Rambam has to choose. So why does he choose, when he's portraying Avram Avinu, why does he portray Avram Avinu as finding God at 40. More than that, not only does he say that Avram finds God at 40, but says the Rambam, what is happening with Avram up until that point? This he says explicitly. What's happening to Avram is that Avram is v'hu oved imahem, that Avram is worshiping idolatry. Why is that, that he would choose to articulate an image of Avram, who's not just finding God at 40, but as someone who is actually participating in idolatry up until that point? Imagine that you are asked a shidduch about an individual. Or let's take an example, right? I get calls all the time. I have friends in the field. You know, Rabbi, can you tell us about this other rabbi? We're looking for a new head of school. We're looking for a new rabbi. We're looking for a rebbe. Can you tell us a little bit about him? Now, I have a choice. Let's say I've known the guy my whole life. I could say, well, you know what? In second grade, this individual was a real manuvel. He used to make fun of us, and he used to pick on the girls. And right, I could start there, or I can start with the post-Israel version of this guy and say he's a mensch, he's a Talmud Chacham, he's a great guy, right? Which one would you assume that I would portray on the shidduch, or when describing someone for a position? So, of course, I would never say, oh, you should know that in third grade, he once, you know, did something wrong. Or in fifth grade, you should know that he once called me a name on the bus. I would never say that, right? I would say, he went to this yeshiva, he's been learning, he's a great guy, he's a mensch, he's a talmid chacham, whatever the case might be. And yet that's exactly not what the Rambam does. The Rambam has that choice. He could either say Avram at three found God, whitewash over Avram's entire background, or he can say Avram at 40 finds God, and Avram was an Ovei Avodah Zarah up until that point. Why does the Rambam choose to say that you should know what Avram is really like? That when he was younger, he was an Ovei Avodah Zarah, and it was only at the age of 40 that Avram comes and finds Hashem. So I saw a beautiful insight, which is that when it comes to Judaism, and when it comes to spirituality, and it comes to our emuna, greatness is not defined by where we are, but greatness is defined by how much we went through until we got to that process, right? So we are defined not necessarily by our ultimate success, but we are defined by the mesiras nefesh that we went through, the sacrifice that we engaged in up until that point where we achieved that success. And so when the Rambam has a choice to describe Avram Avinu, either recognizing him at 3 years old or recognizing him as someone who struggled with temptation, struggled with Avodah Zarah, and only finds God at the age of 40, the Rambam chooses the latter because he says that's the more praiseworthy description of Avram Avinu. The more praiseworthy description of Avram Avinu is one who faith did not come easily to him. It was not handed to him on a silver platter. He was not raised in a yeshiva day school education. He did not have emuna classes and parsha classes. He didn't have any of that. You know what he had? What we would call in modern, I guess, psychology, educational psychology. He had what we call grit. He had determination. He had perseverance. Avram was challenged as a child. Everything was against him. His atmosphere was against him. His surroundings were against him. His parents were against him. His education was against him. Everything was against him. And yet Avram had grit. He had this unwillingness to give up. And even though it would take him 37 years from the age of 3 until the age of 40, until he ultimately developed his confidence in his emunah and Hashem, he nonetheless was relentless in his pursuit of growth. That, says Rav Yisrael Reisman, is the greatest attribution that we can give to Avram Avinu. Not that it was handed on a silver platter. That's easy. Not that he was raised with his day school education where everyone knew about Amuna and about Hashem. No. Avram had everything working against him. And yet the most praiseworthy description is his Mesiras Nefesh, is the struggle, is the sacrifice that he went through to become the person that he was. I have oftentimes referenced, it's one of the most inspirational, impactful books that I've ever read. It's called Mindset by Carol Dweck. But this is her whole premise. Her whole premise is there's something called a fixed mindset and there's something called a growth mindset. A fixed mindset says, I am who I am. I was born with certain predispositions. I was born in a certain way, and that ultimately defines me, and I'm never going to grow out of it, and I'm never going to change. And then there's what we call a growth mindset. A growth mindset says, I don't care where I am now, but I'm willing to put in the hard work to overcome who I am now, to constantly be evolving and transforming myself and changing. Someone with a growth mindset, statistics and data and research and studies consistently show that those people end up significantly higher, significantly more successful, because they're willing to put in that effort. They're willing to put in the grit, the consistency, the tenacity, the struggle, we call the Mesiras Nefesh, to ultimately get into where they want to go and to achieve their goals. So idea number one, I think a beautiful insight, the stira. Why does the Rambam choose to portray Avram as an Ovei Avodah Zarah for 40 years? Why describe Avram Avinu that way? Because that's the ultimate praise of Avram Avinu. Despite having everything against him, despite struggling with the temptation of Avodah Zarah, nonetheless, Avram struggles with it and perseveres. He didn't come easy to him. He wasn't born that way, but he worked at it. He achieved it. He accomplished it. I think that is something that is entirely motivational and inspirational for every single one of us. Because if Avraham Avinu, Emunah was a lifelong journey, then Emunah should be a lifelong journey for us as well. We should never accept the description, the image of God that we had when we were in high school or in elementary school or in our parents' home. But we should recognize that Emunah is always evolving, that our relationship with Hashem is always evolving. And the more work that we put in and the more struggle that we're engaging in, the more success that we'll see in the long run. We should never be afraid at any age to continue to explore our relationship with Hashem. That is idea number one. Idea number two, and I believe this is the first time that we are referencing this in three ideas in 30 minutes. Perhaps the fact checker will say otherwise. But this is from Rabbi Golden, Rabbi Shmuel Golden, his beautiful book, Unlocking the Torah Text. He has here a beautiful interpretation of a Sforno. Right, the million-dollar question. Lech lecha me'artzecha u'me'aladetcha. Right, Hashem tells Avraham Avinu to go, get out of there. And the million-dollar question is, how does Avraham Avinu know where to go? How does he know where to go? How does he know that he's supposed to go to the land of Canaan? Different interpretations. He quotes here a Sforno, and I'll read you the Sforno. Says the Sforno, Vayetsu laleches arza Canaan. The pasuk says that Avram takes Sarai and Lot, ve'eskolash ve'sanefesh asher asu b'charan. He takes the whole kitchen sink with him. And then it says, Vayetsu laleches arza Canaan, vayavo arza Canaan. And they're going towards arza Canaan. Says the Sforno, how does he know where he's going? Answers the Sforno, Kshahaisa mefur semes etzlam la eretz mucheneth lit bonenut la avodas hakel isbarach. That it was a land that people knew about. It was a well-known land that was given over, that was prepared for contemplation, la avodas Hashem, and for the worship of Hashem. So says the Sforno, how did Avraham Avinu know where to go? That there was a shmua out there, right? People know you want to grow in Judaism, you go to Boca Raton. Everyone knows that. Everyone knows that all over. So Avram knew you want to grow. The Boca Raton of antiquity was Canaan. So Avram just assumed if Hashem wants me to grow in Torah and Mitzvot, it must be that I'm supposed to go to the land of Canaan. And yet, Rabbi Golden suggests a different interpretation, which I think is unbelievable. He says the answer is in the text itself. Because if you look just a few psukim earlier, at the end of Parshas Noach, so it tells us that Avram's father also embarks on a journey. Pasuk says in chapter 11, verse 31, Vayikach Terach es Avram beno ves Lot ben Haran ben beno veid Sarai kalato eshes Avram beno. Right, so he takes, right, Terach takes Avram and Lot, and Vayetsu itam me'or kasdim laleches arza Canaan. They too leave or kasdim, and they're on their way to Canaan. Vayavo ad Haran vayeshvu sham. And yet what happens to that journey? They come to Haran, vayeshvu sham, they settle there, and then in the very next pasuk, Terach dies. So in a range of five psukim, both Terach and Avram embark on the exact same journey. Terach leaves Ur Kasdim. He's on his way to Canaan. Avram leaves, and he's on his way to Canaan. What's the difference in the journeys? So the psukim are explicit. When it comes to Avram's journey, it says, Vayetsu laleches arza Canaan, that they went on their way to arza Canaan, Vayavo arza Canaan, and they get to Canaan. When it comes to the story of Terach, what does it say? Laleches arza Canaan, they're on their way to Canaan, Vayavo ad Haran vayeshvu sham, and they come to Haran and they settle there. The Sforno says this explicitly. The Sforno says vayavo arza Canaan. When talking about Avram coming to Canaan, he says lo keinyan yitzias terach laleches arza Canaan shelo va el ad Haran. He says this Avram's journey is different than Terach's journey. The difference being that Avram actually gets there. Terach makes a pit stop along the way. He makes a pit stop in Haran, and what happens? Hey, right? Haran's got some good restaurants. Do you see the shopping malls in Haran? Not a bad place. The houses are nice. The yards are manicured. They got some good restaurants. They've got a Costco and a Target. Everything a Jew would ever need. So what happens? He stays there. He stays there. He settles. He's on his way to the promised land. And what happens? Hey, I'll get there eventually. This isn't so bad. This is a nice lifestyle. Says Rabbi Golden, that is the difference. What we do know is that Avram's journey emerges from the text as a continuation of his father's original quest. The difference between father and son from this perspective lies in their ability and in their willingness to stay the course and to complete the journey. Now, you can take this in one of two different ways. It's an amazing insight. Never saw that Sforno before. I may have heard this idea. I didn't see it explicitly in the Sforno. It's explicit in the Sforno. What's amazing about the idea is you can take it in one of two directions. You can take it like Rabbi Golden, who uprooted himself from a very successful career in Englewood, made Aliyah, moved to Israel. Says Rabbi Golden that this is the story of Jews in the diaspora. The story of Jews in the diaspora is we're on their way to the promised land, and we made a pit stop. Some of us it's in Brooklyn, some of us it's in Boca, some of us it's in Boston, some of us it's in Muncie, some of us it's in Chicago. We made a pit stop. Vayavo Arza Canaan, we're on their way to the promised land. But hey, do you see the restaurants opening in Boca now? Burnt and Roadhouse, and now we got a sushi place. A sushi, now we've arrived. Boca's arrived. We've got a sushi place. Right? We've got a kolel. We've got everything. So we settled. Right? We're on our way to the land. Vayavo Arza Canaan. But what happens? Vayavo Ar Charan, Vayeshu Sham. On our journey, we made a pit stop. And now we're stuck. Now we're here. Says Rabbi Golden that the lesson of this is today's diaspora, Jewish community exists at a time when return to the land of Israel is possible. And yet, for a variety of reasons, some more than compelling than others, our personal journeys to our homeland have been voluntarily aborted. Harsh, but he says, like Terach, we have decided to remain in Charan at a time when other choices exist. That's Rabbi Golden's interpretation. That's the way he handles it. And I think there is definitely an element of truth to it. I think you can broaden it. And if you're not, if you don't want to take it in the Aliyah direction, I think there's an entirely different way of taking it, which is just perseverance in life, right? All of us have our journey. We have a spiritual journey, we have a physical journey, and there are stops along the way. There are times we come to Charan, right? The proverbial Charan in our lives, where we get settled, we feel plateaued, we feel very confident in where we are and the people that we are, and so we stop trying to grow, right? And so what happens? We get to a place within ourselves called Charan, where we feel very settled. Vayishu Sham, we say, this is who I am. And I'm not willing to change. I'm not interested in changing. This is who I am. I have arrived. The message of Avram is, you got to always continue the journey. You got to always keep pushing yourself. You got to always continue the march. Life, you know, there are two types of escalators. There's the escalators that go up, and then the escalators in the airport when it's a very far walk where you're just going straight, right? We Jews like to be going on the upward escalator, right? We don't want to just be cruising straight. We always want to be aspiring and growing and striving and ambitious in our spiritual pursuits. So perhaps you could take this idea, not in an Aliyah way, although I think that's beautiful and there's an element of truth and I think it puts the mirror in front of each one of our faces, but I think it's about life in general, which is saying that we have to be the Avram, not the Terach. We have to not stop along the way and say, I'm settled, this is who I am, I've arrived, but to constantly be ambitious, to constantly be pushing ourselves to either greater and further height. So idea number one, came from, why is Avram portrayed as an Ovdei Avodah Zarah? Isn't that a harsh description of the Rambam? No, that is the most praiseworthy description of the Rambam. Because despite the fact that Avram was once an Ovdei Avodah Zarah, look what he became. He grew out of that. He emerged. He put in the effort to continuously strive to find God. That is the most praiseworthy element of Avram Avinu. Idea number two came from a beautiful insight. Shmuel Golden, unlocking the Torah text, the Sforno, the difference between Avram's journey and Terach's journey. Idea number three comes from Rav Gamliel Rabinovich. Says Rav Gamliel Rabinovich, Vayered Avram Mitzrayim, that Avram goes down to Mitzrayim. Now we know that Avram is, according to the Midrashim, Avram is not, that's not necessarily a good thing. Why? Because, why did he go down to Mitzrayim? Vayered Avram Mitzrayim, alagorsham ki kaveda rabaret. Because there was a famine on land. Canaan had a massive famine. And because Canaan had a massive famine, so what does Avram do? He goes down to Mitzrayim. Why did Avram go down to Mitzrayim? Wasn't he a man of faith? shouldn't he have known? He should have been frazzled, right? 10 tests, and he's frazzled by a little famine that he runs down to Egypt and aborts exactly what God had been asking him to do, right? Avram Avinu was so bothered by that. So I don't understand, says Rav Gamliel Leonovich, right? Yeshela Kashel, Avram Avinu, he says. I have a great kasha on Avram Avinu, right? V'halo hu ayah gado amaminim ba'akadosh baruch hu. He's the greatest believer in Hashem. V'echi tachin shemishum shayirah ba'aretz. How could it be that because of a little famine in the land, a little food, Yered Mitzrayim, does he not know that Hashem is going to take care of him? Listen to this unbelievable interpretation from Rav Gamliel Rabinovich. He says, of course, Avram knew that Hashem could provide food for him wherever he was. But what was the reason for Avram's entire life? What did Avram live for? Right? Avram lived not for himself, but he lived to spread God's influence all around him. Avram was, of course, the paradigmatic kirov worker. His entire life was given over to influencing other people and to inspiring other people and to share with them the messages of monotheism. What happens in Canaan? There's a famine. What happens when there's a famine? So the Chazal tell us that when there's a famine, she'anius ma'aviras adam al das kono, that when there's a famine, that when things are going difficult, poverty removes a person from thinking about his maker. In other words, when people are in such a difficult situation, they simply can't contemplate God. When people are going through such hardship, it's so hard for them to contemplate a relationship with Hashem. So says Rav Gamliel Romanovich, that's why Avram Avinu goes down to Mitzrayim. There was no work for him to do in Canaan at that time. That because there was a famine in Canaan, no one was open to the messages of monotheism. His words weren't sticking against the people. No one was coming out to his shirim, and no one was coming out to his discovery seminars. Eish HaTorah was empty. Or Sameach was empty. No one was coming. So Avram says, what am I doing here? If I'm not influencing other people, if I'm not sharing the messages and the values of Torah with other people, so what am I living for? So says the Torah, Vayered Avram Mitzrayim Lagor Sham. Avram goes down to Mitzrayim. Why? Ki kaved hara ba'aretz. Not because he didn't believe in Hashem, but because ki kaved hara ba'aretz. There was so much famine in the land, there was nothing for him to do. No one was coming to assure him. So what does he do? Vayered Mitzrayim. He goes to Mitzrayim. He says, if I can't influence people in Canaan, then let me at least go down to Mitzrayim and try to influence people there instead. Says Rav Gamliel Rabinovich, we see here the godless of Avram Avinu and the mandate for every single one of us. That the godless of Avram Avinu was that his entire life, his entire essence, he couldn't fathom an existence that didn't involve sharing the beauty of Judaism with other people. He couldn't fathom an existence where he went to the mall, or he went to Publix, or he went to the gym, or he went to the office, and he couldn't get people inspired about Judaism. He couldn't fathom that. So much so that when it wasn't working, he said, I got to go somewhere else. I got to go to circumstances where it's going to work. Vayered Mitzrayim. So he goes down to Mitzrayim in the hopes that there, perhaps his message will stick. Says Rav Gamliel Leverage, we are the descendants of Avram. We need to feel that same fiery burn inside every single one of us. The need, the deep-seated need to share the messages of God and His Torah and His wisdom with everyone around us. We simply can't go through our lives with our head in the sand and assume that someone else is going to inspire Jews to a Torah lifestyle, to connect to God, to find meaning in their lives. Don't assume that your coworker or the person exercising next to you at the gym is going to find God on their own. The world is craving for it. People are hungry for the messages of Hashem. We, says Rav Gamliel Rabinovich, have to be the descendants of Avram Avinu. We have to recognize that it is our calling, that it is our mission, that it is our purpose to take the gift of Torah that we have and to share it with those around us and to be willing to inspire people. And yes, sometimes it's uncomfortable, and sometimes it may be a little awkward, but l'kach natzarta, this is what we were created for. This is the purpose why we're here on this earth. So we saw what I think are three very beautiful ideas in just a little bit less than 30 minutes today. Idea number one, came from Avram Avinu. Why does the Rambam, when he has the choice between saying that Avram finds God at 3 or Avram finds God at 40, why does he say 40? Why does he highlight the fact, v'hu ovedi mahem, that Avram worshipped Avodah Zarah? Because that's the greatest praise of Avram Avinu. What greater praise is there that even though it didn't come easy to him, he was moser nefesh, he overcame it. He went through the sacrifice that was required of him. And that, of course, I think is a powerful lesson for every single one of us, that we should never take, we should never accept who we are, we never accept our relationship with Hashem for what it is now, but to always be striving to learn, to grow, to find new ways of connecting with our Creator. Idea number 2 came from this beautiful Sforno, the difference between Terach and Avram. Terach is on his way, but gets sidetracked. Avram is on his way, and he ends up there. The difference is that whereas Terach gets stuck in Haran, Avram ultimately perseveres in his journey and ends up in Canaan. We saw two different ways of understanding that. Either by Golden's way, where we are the modern day Terach, which is basically what he's saying. It's a little harsh, but that's what he's saying. Right? We got sidetracked in Haran. We're sidetracked in the diaspora on our march towards Eretz Yisrael, which is a choice for us nowadays. First time in 2,000 years. It's an amazing gift from the Almighty. Or perhaps it could apply to any other area of life. Then in any area of life, we become complacent. We grow stagnant. We stop being ambitious. We stop seeking to grow. Therefore, we have to be the descendants of Avram, not the descendants of Terach. And lastly, we saw from Rav Gamliel, Rabinovich, Vayered Avram Mitzrayima, ki kaved harav aretz. It's not a denigration of Avram. It's not a lack of belief that Avram went down Mitzrayim. The exact opposite. It was because he was so committed to sharing about God. And because there was a famine in Canaan, no one was willing to listen. They were so busy with earning parnasa and finding food, they didn't care about God at that time. So he goes down to Mitzrayim. Avram was so given over. His life, his existence was all about sharing the word of God. And when he couldn't do it in one place, he had to go to another. That's how committed he was to the mission. That's how committed he was to the vision. I wish everyone a beautiful Shabbos, an inspirational Shabbos, a meaningful Shabbos. I look forward to continuing our learning in the future. And I hope everyone stays happy, stays healthy, and stays holy. Have a beautiful Shabbos. Shabbat.